On this week's episode of the We've Seen That podcast, we're talking about Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim.
Music, we are back for episode number 67 of the We've Seen That podcast, and what I am dubbing in my own words right now, the most important podcast we've ever done. I'm going to go that far because this is the biggest movie we have reviewed in the time frame of the podcast in the present. So that's a lot of parameters, but this is the number one in said parameters. And when you go to something this big, you have to bring on, at this point, probably a staple of the podcast. So we are welcoming back, once again, recurring guest and probably just now at this point, fourth owner of the podcast.
Yep.
Mr. Adam is back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I love Spider-Man, so I'm hyped to talk about it.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah, this is also the first movie that made us all go out to the theaters and actually sit in a seat to see this movie.
Yeah, true,
because a couple of you watched Dune at home, right?
Anthony and I went live. Yeah,
just Jim.
This one, obviously, we'll talk about some of the records that it's not broken, but is in like the top three. I mean, the fucker went off. So let's start with what we're watching. I'll start with mine. Actually, we were in the theater. I went with Cassie and my friends Garrett and Trent. And we're about 5 minutes into the movie, and Cassie goes, "Is now a bad time to tell you I haven't seen any of the Spider-Men besides Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. And I was like,
Sam Raimi 1, 2, 3, you're saying?
Yes. So at that point, I was like, man, she's really not going to get when we get to a specific part. And when we did get to this part, she looked at me and was like, what's the big deal? And I was like, so we watched The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. Amazing Spider-Man 1, after the rewatch on that, I would actually land a little bit higher than I do enjoy that movie a lot more than the second one. And
it
I would
has
probably
problems, but it's not terrible.
Right. It's a little ridiculous at times. The Lizard isn't exactly doing any favors to the movie, in my opinion. Like, it's a pretty weak villain. But I'd probably land at a 7 out of 10 on that one. The second Amazing Spider-Man,
that one is terrible.
It's tough, because there's parts of it that are really good, and I do enjoy, like, Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield together are fantastic.
They have a chemistry.
They do. But
they were dating. In real life.
Yeah, that's a hot couple, by the way. That is a hot couple.
Just that's a fun fact. All three Spider-Man and their love interests dated while the movies were going on, so that's interesting.
That is interesting. Well, way to
Don't
go, Spidey.
Spoiling trivia now.
Hmm?
Jim, how would you have known? Oh, Adam gets a point. What's new?
Yeah. We're going to get work, Scott, I think, in this.
I'm a Spider-Man guy, so. Well,
I had a chance to catch up last week, Anthony, when you were off of the trivia, whatever this was.
Yeah.
And I thought I won. I lost that week by a point. Anyway, the one thing I want to point out about Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 that I really don't like, the fucking dubstep shit with Jamie Foxx is just really fucking bad. Like, I think without that, it may not have been that bad. I think they did Jamie Foxx a little dirty. They had the Goblin in it for maybe 5 minutes. I guess that one was a knockoff version of the Goblin too.
Terrible.
It looked like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Went for the realistic you know, mask design, only like just basically designed his face and hair to look like it. You know, it was
but all they really did was spiked his hair. That's like kind of all they did.
And he had some weird skin disease thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the excuse for why he had to take the Green Goblin formula. He thought it was going to cure him.
But then the end of that one also has me thinking, like, man, it's almost like they planned on having another one of these movies.
Definitely did.
Let's talk about that in the latter of the show, because I'm sure we all have opinions there, too. But that is a 5 out of 10. So it's still not, like, the one thing that doesn't have going for it, the runtime, I believe, is like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And I think the first one is 2.5 hours as well. So there was some long movies, but second one was
While we're on it, the stuff with Peter's parents in that movie is unreal. Yeah. I cannot believe they made that decision.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, where they're like weird super spies and not necessarily dead.
Correct. And he brings up the subway of like his dad's work, and yeah, there's a lot
of whole ass subway car.
Yeah, there's and the line of he used to take this specific subway home, and Peter was like, "What subway?" And then he researched it, and it happened to be an abandoned station, and it happened to be
found a briefcase full of subway tokens.
He did.
A calculator full of.
Oh, is that what it was? Excuse me.
Like in the casing of the calculator, which he's apparently had for like 20 years.
You know, I want to point out that I think Adam might be the king of pointing out details that like my dumb brain doesn't like think about and save and compartmentalize, because he pointed out last week when we reviewed Transformers and we're talking about Mark Wahlberg's one, that in one of the movies, a guy who's 20 who's dating a 17-year-old feels the need to bring Texas law in his pocket to prove that he can date a minor, since they were dating before he turned 18.
And they were
18,
both minors originally.
Which is the Romeo and Juliet law.
If you do that math, that would still mean he was 17 and she was 14, which is still pretty fucked up.
Not great. Oh, yeah. But yeah, Adam is the king of movie details. Like, I sometimes think shitty movie details, Jim, on Reddit is like half Adam's posts. I wouldn't doubt it.
I love that sub.
Oh, it's great. It is great really fucking good. Sub. Great fucking sub. But I've talked enough. Let's go to Mr. Adam for his What We're Watching.
Me?
Yes.
I haven't watched a lot lately. I've been getting back to work after my paternity leave.
That's right.
I did... With my kid, I wanted to get off the normal Disney stuff on a weekend morning when she was four, and I wanted to put something on the TV to distract her. So I put on My Neighbor Totoro, which is a Studio Ghibli movie, and it's adorable and cute, just like it always has been. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it holds up. Very cute. It's a classic for a reason. People who haven't seen it should watch it.
Okay.
You got a rating on that one?
Oh, I don't know, like an 8. I didn't really think about it too much. And then both Succession and Hawkeye had their season finales, so I watched both of those. Succession continues to be a 10 out of 10. I don't know why none of you will watch it. It is amazing.
I know.
It's the best show on television.
I heard the finale was absolutely ridiculous.
It was. It was amazing. Everyone should watch Succession. I don't want to spoil anything. It's incredible little character work and drama about terrible people, so have that in mind. You're not supposed to root for any of them, but the acting and the writing is incredible.
Okay, then decide this for me, Adam, because I've got about a month till busy season and we're just about to finish up a show. Do I watch The Witcher or Succession?
I am not up on The Witcher. I have not watched it yet, so I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Jim, can you help?
I can't, because I haven't watched Succession, but yeah. I really enjoyed Witcher Season 1. Not to jump the gun, but we've started watching Witcher Season 2. We have, like, 2 episodes left. It is not as good as Season 1.
I'm going with Succession. That you sold me right there. Good enough.
And just to put a cap on Hawkeye, it was very good. It was probably the most consistent of all the Marvel shows. We talked about the rest of them as they were airing. WandaVision kind of ended weird. Falcon and Winter Soldier started not great and ended not great. The middle was good. And then Loki was kind of all over the place with some really good parts. Hawkeye, I don't know if I ever hit the highs of some of those other ones. Like, that beginning of WandaVision was incredible. That, like, one episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier where the new Captain America takes the super serum was amazing. I don't know if it ever hits those highs, but is the most consistent. Like, it's good all the way through. There's not a single episode that I thought was bad, and I think all the other series had at least like one. So, I don't know.
I need to get back to that one. Unfortunately, I didn't like the beginning, so I've not been super motivated to get back to it.
Yeah, I've like...
No spoilers, but there's some fun connections to the larger MCU as it goes on here.
I've read some spoilers already, and there are things that I feel as though I need to see.
Yeah, I watched... I think I have like 25 minutes left of the finale, so... I think if I had to right now, like, rate the shows in order, I think I still really like Loki. I think that's probably been my favorite one. And then I'd probably have to put WandaVision, then this one, Hawkeye, and then probably Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I think that's fair.
Probably where I'd fall. But I don't know. It was better than I thought it would be, to be honest. Yeah. So
I was impressed with how well... I really like Hailee Steinfeld in this role.
Yeah.
I hope she sticks around for some bigger stuff, like
she's great.
Movies and team-ups and stuff.
Yeah, so I excuse me. So I tried to finish it before I went and played ball tonight. So I have like 25 minutes left. So I'll probably wrap that up as soon as we're done with this. You could see that finale, but good deal.
Yeah, that's what I got.
All right, Anthony, go.
Me?
Yes.
So other than Hawkeye, which I kind of just discussed a little bit, I haven't really finished it quite yet. I did my yearly Lord of the Rings extended edition sit. And my God, it is so great. It's a first ever show, 10,000 out of 10 rating, by the way. No, but it's
cue the average.
It's amazing. Like, I remember just, so we finished before midnight. I think it's 11 hours and 44 minutes. That was like the goal. We started around noon or a little before, maybe, whatever. Got it done. It's just never ceases to amaze me how amazing it still just holds up. Like, specifically, like, the one scene I want to talk about is in the third one, Return of the King, when Faramir's, like, and the troops are retreating from Osgiliath, like, the first time, and Gandalf, like, rides out there to save them from the Nazgul with, like, the... Like, when those Nazgul are, like, flying down and, like, taking out the horses, it's like, that stuff literally looks like it could have been shot, like, yesterday. And they did it
the
20 years ago.
Insane.
It looks so real. Like, it's amazing. I don't know how they could ever... You'll never see anything like it again, unfortunately, I don't think. Unless somebody gets, like, an unlimited budget and time, but...
The movies are just masterpieces. It's as simple as that.
Yeah,
well, like, the other thing is I don't think there's a story or a property, unless you write an entirely new one, that can really top it. Like, Lord of the Rings is, in the English language, it's the story. Like, Tolkien, when he was writing it, said he wanted to, like, write the English version of, like, the Odyssey or the Iliad, like, those Greek epics. Like, and he did it. Like,
that's a great point, yeah.
The movies can't be topped because, like, they were done perfectly adapting something that is, like, the gold standard of literature. Like, I don't think it can ever be redone. Like, I guess maybe in the future someone could write something, but it's hard to imagine.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll see something like that with this new Dune run. I mean, the first... like, this first one was a good start. I mean, I'm not ready to, like, put it on the mantle of, like, Lord of the Rings, but they got the right director, and if depending on how they decide to approach... You know, that
honestly, if they hit it off, I don't think it would be the same, but that might actually be the closest parallel, because it's like an old book that's like the standard of a genre, sci-fi as opposed to fantasy, like not the original, but the gold standard for when it was written, that kind of thing.
So yeah,
it's probably a good analogy, actually.
That's really pretty much all I've watched movie-wise, other than what we went and saw in theaters. But yeah, God, those movies are great.
All right, Jim, round it out.
So other than Witcher Season 2, we had a measly third place finish at Trivia this week. Still in the money.
Okay.
So that's what matters. Still a dynasty.
Third out of...
6 or 7.
Okay, all right. Top 50,
respectively.
We are going back again this week for the last, or second to last, Trivia of 2021, hopefully to regain the top spot.
Yeah.
But so long as we're in the money, I'm going to keep reporting on
it. I would.
There you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh! There we go. Hype porn. I want to lead off. Okay? I want to lead off. What am I hyped about? Fucking Christmas, kind of, guys.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it's like, Christmas changes so much now. You know, like, let's go back 15 years to where you were like, oh man, Christmas is almost here. I can't wait. Now, it was like today I looked at the fucking date and it was 12/22 and I was like, oh my God, it's in 3 days. It's fucking insane how this shit changes. And now, like, I'm just really excited to see family and potentially have a couple beers with Anthony.
Rumor has it as soon as tomorrow.
Breaking news. Yeah, but I also am just hyped to not work for a few days, so I'm hyped about that too. So anyway, Jim, back to the regularly scheduled programming.
Okay, first thing, I'm not sure how much any of us care, but it seems like there was enough people on the internet that did. Kick-Ass is apparently getting a reboot.
I think the first movie yeah. slaps.
Yeah.
As far as
rules. Any, yeah. The movie's so good.
I've never
good.
Seen the yeah. second one.
The second one's not as great, but I love the first movie. It's fucking awesome.
So it does feel a little soon for a reboot, but
I don't know. Would it count, did it come, when did the first one come out? Like 2010? 10, something like that, yeah. Or 8? I don't know.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So
Kick-Ass came out in 2010, Kick-Ass 2 in 2013.
Okay. Yeah, that is a little soon for a reboot, but I mean,
I haven't read the comic or the graphic novel or whatever it's based on, but I've heard that the movie is quite different and the graphic novel is a lot darker.
Ooh, so maybe so this new adaptation.
It's a relatively dark movie in the first place.
It is relatively dark, but I heard the comic book is like fucked up.
Maybe the newer adaptation will kind of.
Yeah, that's what people are thinking, especially with like how well that Watchmen show did and like how just like comic book properties in general. Like 2010 was 12 years ago, basically. Yeah. Like comic book movies have come a long way. Like you can do a Deadpool or something and people will still go to it. Like Deadpool is obviously a different kind of R-rated as opposed mm-hmm. to dark. But like in 2010, they maybe had to think more about marketing to a broader appeal.
Right.
So maybe that's why they're rebooting it. I don't really know.
Makes sense.
Alrighty, next piece of hype we have is How I Met Your Father has dropped their first trailer. This is coming to Hulu on January 18th. I have no idea if it's a dump of all the episodes or if it's going to be weekly.
This trailer dropped like a fucking rock in an ocean.
Brick.
Like, it does not look good. And
it looks very bad.
And before we get some flack.
The trailer feels 20 years old, like for a 20-year-old sitcom. Adam and I were texting about this. And it feels like it's for a bad sitcom
yeah.
from 20 years ago.
I mean, it's just like I don't know what it was about the male characters that were written in, but they all already bother me. I don't know if you all agree with that. I feel like the two female characters, I was like, this doesn't seem that bad, but it seemed like everything else was way over the fucking top, and I'm not that interested. However,
are we going to enjoy this a little bit less, kind of like the I Know What You Did Last Summer show, because it's not marketed to us?
Well,
it's marketed to Zoomers a little bit more.
Is it? Though?
The title is based on a sitcom that we quote-unquote grew up with. I don't know if that's the right term for what age group
it's
that was
supposed
kind of targeted
to be
at.
People aged us now, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't
the characters are like late 20s, early 30s, right?
Right. But they are acting like children. That's the part where I was like, what's happening? And Josh Peck's in it. And
oh, God.
You never know
is
where
Josh
that's going to go.
I might be back in.
Did you see it? very limited, and he played a serious character, and I was like, okay. You know, that caught me a little, but that was the only thing that caught
me. I don't
know.
Ever since Josh Peck's role in the fucking, like, the reboot of that classic, God, what movie was it?
Was
the
it
one
where,
like, yeah, Red Dawn reboot. God, yeah. He can kick rocks.
Bad.
Yeah, like, I don't care about anything with Josh Peck.
I'm going to rate this show a 2 out of 10. Prove me wrong.
There
me wrong.
Go.
Are any of you guys?
I feel
familiar...
as though I have to watch it though.
We're gonna have to watch.
Are any of you guys familiar with the CBS sitcom Two Broke Girls?
Looks real similar. Yes.
They're giving me big Two Broke Girl vibes.
It really does look like the same fucking show. And honestly, if you like put their trailer side by side, I think you might notice some similarities. I don't know, but yeah, it doesn't. If anybody actually watched this trailer and was like, that looks interesting, I'm really sorry. But I just...
Yeah, send us an email and tell us how we're wrong.
I can't imagine that. It happened.
Hillary Duff fans.
Is that Hillary Duff?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Holy shit!
So, she wanted to do... You know how a bunch of the Disney shows are getting reboots with, like, older cast? Like, iCarly got one. Or that was Nickelodeon, but same idea, right?
Yeah.
So she wanted to do one for Lizzie McGuire with a like early 30s Lizzie McGuire, like check in on her, see what she's doing with her life, and have it be more adult and more mature. Disney said no. The theory
so
is
she threw kind of an internet fit.
Yes, she threw a bit of an internet fit. The theory is she got this role and it's basically just that show without the character names.
Wow.
So then they just milk the franchise How I Met Your Mother? That's terrible.
That's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah. And you're not talking some, like, How I Met Your Mother, I don't think
well,
you can
I,
compare that
I
to
I can't
Lizzie
really
McGuire.
Talk because you guys have sounds like have all seen How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And you guys seem to really like
it. It doesn't
fan.
Hold up. Don't go back and watch it.
What? It's not as great now.
I think some of the earlier seasons hold up. The late seasons don't.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, I guess compared on like a rewatch scale to like a Parks and Rec or an Office, it's not as good because like
Parks and Rec still slaps.
Yes, I love that show.
Go watch those. Go watch Arrested Development. Go watch like
Succession.
There's much. Well, no, but I'm talking about comedies from that era. But but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well. But yeah, I'm not interested. Next.
No, I'll probably watch an episode just out of morbid curiosity. But...
We're going to destroy it. We're going to
Next,
destroy it.
Next trailer we have for today is Ambulance. This is starring Jake Gyllenhaal. Seeing as all the internet hate he's getting lately, I felt as though we needed to discuss this.
Poor guy.
Right? I love...
Poor guy.
I love the two leads. I mean, I love Jake Gyllenhaal as an actor, and I love... was his name?
Yeah, Abdul Mateen.
Yeah. But I went on the record when I first saw this trailer like a couple weeks, like a month ago probably. And this literally looks, it's the most absurd movie I've ever seen. It's a Michael Bay directed ambulance driving through explosions.
Yeah, they're robbing a bank. They end up shooting a cop, so they hijack the ambulance.
I'm impressed
the cop is in.
How they got to the ambulance because I kind of forgot about the title until about halfway through and I was like, oh, there it is.
But then they like
it was cool until they got into the ambulance and then I was like, oh, that's right. And then it got weird. I don't know.
It's gonna be, you know, you give him credit where he deserves it. He knows how to shoot big action set pieces.
Well,
so like when they cut off at the end of the trailer, there's like a little play on the words and it like emphasizes LA. So like they're gonna just shoot all over the city, I'm sure, with this ambulance. And it'll probably look really cool, but it just looks like the most absurd movie I've ever seen. The concept is just insane to me. I don't know.
Yeah, if we want to go back to... We've been comparing a lot of things to vibes. This has big Saturday afternoon on FX, my dad is watching this vibes.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure.
One last thing I want to shout out about this is... the female lead, who is the ambulance tech, is Deza Gonzalez, who is the female lead from Baby Driver, plays John Hamm's love interest there. It doesn't appear that she's been in a whole bunch, but I think that she was really good in Baby Driver. I would be interested to see how she is in this.
Yeah, so why is Jake Gyllenhaal getting the flack? Tay-Tay.
He mistreated Taylor Swift.
That's right. I forgot. She made a song with him wearing her scarf outside of a bar. Is that right? Or something? Something crazy.
Apparently that is a euphemism for other things. He did not actually just wear a scarf. There's more to it than that.
Oh, wow. Please expand. This is for the people.
I am not the expert on this, but supposedly the scarf is a euphemism for her virginity.
Okay, now it's not as funny.
Backing up a little older than her too.
Backing up a little bit.
Had some fun.
I was doing some math on the
age.
Yeah,
he needed a Romeo and Juliet card.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Needed a card in his wallet.
He had to explain himself. Oh God.
Okay, she was like 20. Everybody relax.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't quite that.
But. No, but don't break Taylor Swift's heart. There's like, I mean, simple guide right there.
You get a song written about
people
you and no money from it.
I think you'd learn your lesson by now. Yeah.
Well, you'd think she. Nah, I'm not going to go there. We're going to get people mad at us if I say that. I mean, you'd think she'd forget about it after 10 years.
She's
right?
The number two artist on Spotify, Scott. So
I think.
After who?
I think Drake is number one, to be
still?
Honest.
Really?
Yeah.
He gets a lot of Spotify play. Yeah.
I think she's a fucking genius, honestly. Like,
well, she's super talented. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and she knew this was going to hit. Like, everything she does is, like, true to herself. I respect her. I actually like Tay Tay quite a bit.
Well, she's hit. She's hit one, like I said, like with Drake. She's hit one of like the top. There's probably like a handful of people that where if they release an album, it's like break the internet fucking news. Yeah,
yeah.
Like it's she's hit that status.
Yep.
So
yeah,
that's for
probably
sure.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
he's an ambulance.
Last piece of hype for today is a trailer dropped just a couple days ago for The Northman, starring Alexander Skarsgård. Directed by Robert Eggers, The Northman is an epic revenge thriller that explores how far a Viking prince will go to seek justice for his murdered father. This looks fucking sick.
Can't fucking wait.
Yeah,
this, like I was telling
April
you guys,
April of 2022.
Other than Spider-Man, this was the movie I was singly most hyped for, and this trailer did not disappoint.
This jumped up my excited list when I saw that trailer. It looks cool as fuck.
It does. And like Robert Eggers, he did The Lighthouse, he did The Witch, so two, like,
he's got a track record,
really good movies so far, and like this is, it sounds like he was kind of given the green light to really, like, you know, his first like big picture, so this looks fucking epic.
Big
I can't
names
wait.
Too Skarsgård, Anya Taylor-Joy,
Defoe.
Bjork.
Yeah,
why is Bjork in a movie, but okay.
Yeah, a lot of like you know, Viking lore shit. That's, I just eat that up. So, and Willem Dafoe, of course, like Scott said.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say that.
Right, I forgot about Dafoe. Jesus Christ.
So good. I can't wait. So hyped. That's going to be epic.
All right. So that's
what we got for hype, boys.
Wraps it up. And this is the part of the episode I feel I need to say, stop fucking listening if you haven't seen the movie. Okay, we will put in the title, spoilers. You wouldn't think I'd need to say this, right? Well, I told someone we were reviewing Spider-Man, and if this someone is listening, and he's probably not and just wanted to throw a fucking hissy fit, yes, we are going to spoil what happened in the movie. No, don't listen to it.
Talk about this movie without spoiling it.
We need to,
especially
disclaimer.
Given all the rumors that were swirling leading up to it.
Yeah,
they
which
have
we
to
talked
be
about on this podcast. Like,
yeah.
Disclaimer. You just don't be an asshole. Fucking go watch the movie if you have, anyway.
Yeah, they're
spoilers.
Warned. Screw
yes, right. We'll put it in the title too, please, Jim.
Mute
put,
your speaker and play the podcast anyway.
Right.
So.
Yeah, actually, good point. Yeah, put us on in the background. But let's start our review of Spider-Man No Way Home. Jim, the IMDb, please.
With Spider-Man's identity now revealed, Peter asks Doctor Strange for help. When a spell goes wrong, dangerous foes from other worlds start to appear, forcing Peter to discover what it truly means to be a hero.
Okay.
What it truly means to be Spider-Man. Sorry, I had to wait for the extended description to load.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good description, I would say. Because, I mean, the start of the movie really is Mysterio revealing Peter Parker's identity. That is the...
And then, of course, everyone and Peter Parker's mother getting hauled in for questioning by the Center for Damage Control.
Yeah. I will say, also, to start off right now, this review is going to be a little longer than most, because there's a lot to talk about in this movie. So, buckle
and
up.
I just want
to
nerd out.
It's
already, like,
I just
want to
gush about all the crazy shit in here.
Oh,
so.
We'll gush. But
lots.
Let's talk about how we got to the parts that we want to gush about. Basically, after this happens, Peter Parker decides to ask Doctor Strange for help, and he wants Doctor Strange to basically forget that everyone knows who he is, but he has to throw in a bunch of caveats to said spell. But before that, let's wind back. Doctor Strange is like, hey, this is like a dangerous spell. His buddy, who is his name is
Wong,
also is like, hey, don't do that. But apparently they've used this spell before. It's not like as big of a deal, I guess. Start there.
I think this goes towards Doctor Strange's god complex. He doesn't really give a shit about rules.
And Adam, I recall, were you worried about this part? Like, of him being kind of reckless?
Yeah, in the trailers, it made it seem like, I don't know, maybe it would be some twist that it's, like, not actually Doctor Strange. Like, some, like, body snatchers trying to trick Peter or something. But after seeing the movie, I think they fleshed it out enough. Doctor Strange is just, he feels bad for Peter. They saved the world together. Peter got dusted by Thanos. Like, his whole life got kind of fucked up, and they've been through a lot together with the Avengers for Endgame and Infinity War. And also, I think Doctor Strange is a little bored and pissed off because there is a line here. Doctor Strange is no longer the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah,
just kind of toss the
Wong is, right?
Yep.
So I think that's actually, obviously they didn't give that away in the trailer, but I think it was actually sufficient motivation. I'm fine with Strange being this reckless.
Yeah.
Like, he's always been a little reckless. He seemed to mature a little bit as he went into his Sorcerer Supreme role, but he seems just kind of like pissed off and disgruntled about other stuff and also felt bad for Peter. So I was actually fine with how they developed it.
Yeah.
Well, and it kind of understands a little bit of how your life got thrown for a loop, too, because he got dusted as well, correct?
He did, but he didn't really have a wife.
Other than being Sorcerer Supreme.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's how the spell is created that does open up portals to said other worlds, because he keeps throwing in, like, wait, Aunt May should still know. Wait, Zendaya should still know. My friend should still know. He keeps throwing in people, and Doctor Strange keeps changing the spell. Kind of a fun scene there. I enjoyed it. But
I would liken it to writing an Excel formula on the fly with someone standing there trying to help you with it over your shoulder.
And what happened, but he got a hashtag ref at the end, Jim. That's what happened.
Pretty much.
Like, he the whole thing, he collapsed it, he contained it. He didn't complete the spell. He can if he presses a button, but he has collapsed said spell into, like, a box thing. And so Peter kind of just has to deal with the fact that everybody knows who he is for a while. But almost immediately in the movie, we are already introduced to two villains from the past. One, Dr. Otto Octavius, and I would like to start right now with my theater was fucking lit. Like, it was filled with nerds, without a doubt, because when Doc Ock came on screen, fucking riot in my theater, which is dumb, because everybody knew that was coming.
That was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then the fucking goblin threw in his little thing, and...
Pumpkin ball.
Still, everybody was like, what? And I was like... You watch the trailer? Like, come on. And so from that moment...
This could be a big one for people refusing to watch the trailer till they get to the theater.
I don't know how you have that restraint. Good for you if you fucking do. Because that's...
Especially when, like, the day that dropped, it, like, broke every record imaginable for trailers, so...
couple things to start out with there. Dr. Otto Octavius. God, who's the actor? What's his name?
Alfred Molina.
Guy didn't miss a fucking step at all. Like, he's still fantastic. And there's a little fight scene here between Peter and Doc Ock. And when he finally takes his mask off, he's like, "You're not Peter." And I don't know. Like, I was a big fan of Doc Ock, and I'm still like wanting to go back and watch Spider-Man 2 like every day since I've seen this movie because of it. Like, that...
Well, he's one of the few villains who had, like, actually decent intentions.
They all did.
You know, and something went awry that made him a villain.
Right. I mean, they, like, that is kind of the beauty of Spider-Man villains, is most of them had good intentions, or, like, were good people before, but just kind of fell into some shit. So, yeah, I think he is a pretty... bright spot of this movie. I did like, too, that the pumpkin ball came in, and you almost got to see Goblin fly in right away, but didn't quite get the reveal of Defoe yet. That's when Dr. Strange
portals them away, right?
He's like, that's enough. And he throws Doc Ock into some, what is this? I don't know, like a
magical thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So then this is where we get the line of Doctor Strange saying to Peter and his friends, Scooby-Doo this shit, even though in the commercial it said Scooby-Doo this stuff. And I was a big fan of that. I don't know. Doctor Strange has some fun dialogue here. And a lot of it going with Peter calling him Sir, but him saying, you don't have to call me Sir. Then he calls him Steven. That's fun stuff. I don't know.
They have good chemistry.
Yeah.
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 Especially because it's like two characters we've never really seen interact, other than the funny moment.
You do a little bit in Infinity War.
In Infinity War, when we're like, oh, we're using our made-up names. I'm Spider-Man. Yeah. That was always funny.
And from here, we're kind of going on a villain hunt. So the first villain we get a interaction with is Electro, I believe. Yes,
he's the next one.
Yeah. Correct. And so Jamie Foxx reprising his role as Electro. Boy, they gave him a glow up, huh? Holy shit.
Yeah, they did.
And good.
Yeah, the new suit / animation is amazingly improved.
And good, because I obviously, after talking about The Amazing Spider-Man 2, they didn't do him any favors in that movie. Not really. And I actually enjoy Jamie Foxx as an actor. I think he's pretty great. So they really minimalized his role in this a little bit. Like, he didn't do much, but he was still pretty good.
He was the comedic relief villain.
Yeah, pretty much.
Of the movies I've seen him in, I feel like he plays the same character every time, specifically referencing back to Bats in Baby Driver in this instance. Feels the exact same as him playing Electro.
Definitely does.
In this one.
The one that's different is Django Unchained, in which he is incredible.
Very serious.
And very different than his other roles. But in a lot of his roles, he's pretty samey.
Yeah,
yeah.
And here, too, we also get reintroduced to the Sandman as well, which I guess of all of them, that's probably the one I was least excited about. But he was fine, I guess. Like, it was good, but it wasn't like...
Yeah, I didn't really give a shit about him or Lizard.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one thing...
Or that Electro, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one thing you're worried about with this movie is because that was two of the biggest rips on Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3, was that with all the villains it just got too congested. Well, this movie I think pulled it off much better than those, but to their credit, they kind of had to limit, you know, everybody in a certain way, and especially these three kind of just fall off to the side for most of the time.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, the vast majority of the screen time goes to Doc Ock, who in the second half of the movie loses a lot of time to Willem Dafoe.
Who is incredible.
Unreal. Oh my god.
Holy
yes.
fucking shit.
Stupid good. Like, give everybody a break. Yeah, come on. He's like,
yeah,
he comes in and
I
just
think
steals the show.
He's actually better here than he was in Spider-Man.
Absolutely is.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was great.
I don't understand.
He's been thinking for like a decade about all the things he didn't get to do that he wanted.
Adam pointed out the fight scene that Peter and him have the first time when he's punching Goblin in the face and Defoe
just
laughing.
Eating it and just cheesing. God.
Holy shit. Like,
I mean, he's so much more evil almost. I didn't even think that could be possible, but by far
he's... And that was the first time I feel like you see Tom Holland's Peter Parker unhinged,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked
it.
That a lot.
You needed that from him, because every single one of them had that somewhat moment, you know? And I think the best part here is, like, we're going through all these villains and trying to make them better again, basically, right? Like, and almost all of them you can see for moments where they kind of agree. Like, they're like, yeah, I get, like, I was kicking Spider-Man's ass, now I'm here, whatever. But Defoe's, like, switch, when it's like he is him and then he's not him, is what separates that to keep the villains kind of going in this movie to me. Because, like, Spider-Sense is going off for Peter Parker in the room when they're trying to fix them all, and he just fucking...
Yeah, so that scene, other than, like, all the fan service and the references and stuff, which I loved, but from a new, like, Tom Holland alone thing. That might be my favorite thing. Like, his spider sense is just going insane, but there's nothing happening. He's just looking around the room like, what the fuck am I sensing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it goes on for like 30 seconds before he locks on to Goblin and realizes, like, that the personality switch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was probably the best, like, way the Spidey sense has been shown on screen probably ever.
Yeah.
Like, it was so cool.
And that's, like, one of the only times I can remember Holland's Spider-Man actually, like, using it. Like, I remember one... I mean, I probably just don't remember any specific times except for one in Infinity War when he's on the bus in the city and his, like, hair stands up on his head and he sees the big spaceship that, like, arrived. But, yeah, like...
It's a kind of a big
the first
plot point.
Tom Holland one, he didn't have one, right? Didn't have a Peter Tingle?
He does, but they don't make a big deal out of it. And then in the second one, in Far From Home, it's, like, not working, and it's a plot point. And then at the end,
yeah, okay,
he gets it working again, and he fights Mysterio with his eyes closed, right, using just the sense.
Right.
Which is a cool concept, but, it, like, it doesn't really look any different on screen. He's just fighting the drone.
Yeah, because,
like,
he's still wearing his mask.
They explain that he's doing it, but it doesn't...
Yeah.
It's not the same as here, where, like, everything is just silent. Like, the screen, like, goes out of focus except for Holland's face. Like, you can tell the spider sense is happening, and, like, you can tell he's confused because, like, nothing is happening either.
Yeah, and the camera even, like, it, like, disorients you because you're trying to focus in on, like, what's actually, like, going wrong, because it's, like, zooming around the room, like, going to each character. Like, yeah, they did it really well.
Yeah,
in
this.
That scene was awesome.
Well, and pair right after that, we go into a fucking awesome fight scene of Defoe and Peter Parker here. I mean, like, Green Goblin and Peter Parker. Like, there's so many times when, like, they're just crashing through drywall. It's just crazy. Like, Goblin will just, like, dive bomb and just push him down further. And
I mean,
it's crazy.
It's like, Defoe just, he's just a normal guy, but I often, like, forget, like,
he has super strength.
Yeah, he's a super soldier, essentially.
Yeah, they were,
like,
trying to make a Captain America.
It's, it's like, you forget that he plays just, like, the normal guy so good, but when he switches to Goblin, it's like, you have to remember that he does have, like, super strength and, like, all this fucking ability. It's like, you would think Peter would just be able to handle him, but it's clear that he's ruthless in this movie, and it's pretty fun to watch.
He's, like, doing power bombs and shit. Peter pulls out some new crazy Spider-Man moves, some of which are pulled directly from the PS4 Spider-Man video game.
Oh, nice.
Some like, finishing animations.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's awesome.
It's top tier, dude.
But yeah, I mean, the end of this...
Do we want to get to the end of that fight scene?
Yeah, so Aunt May is in the... is in this, wherever they are, like, some apartment, trying to...
Happy's condo.
Rehabilitate these guys, and she ends up dying from this fight. Goblin throws in a pumpkin bomb, and he gets a little fingertip on it. Peter does, but it's not enough. And I guess, for me... the part of that did hit pretty hard was, like, I thought she was fine. I don't, like, I was pretty surprised that she did end up dying. I did not see that coming, because she...
Yeah, because she was standing up even though she had a hole in her chest, but the hole in her chest was never shown.
Right, because that's, you know, typical Marvel. Like, they're not going to show gore or anything like that. But, yeah, she eats it, and you're like, this is the kind of evolution that all Spider-Men have had. Like, because
very emotional.
Uncle Ben,
quick,
right?
It was never clear before this. We all kind of, I at least, assumed he did, and they just didn't want to redo that origin story. Mm-hmm. But after this movie, I don't think
he did.
Aunt May was just single.
I agree.
Right.
Yep.
And I think
in this universe,
yeah,
which is fine. I think that's a good way to tell this story.
Right.
To do it a different way after they've shown Uncle Ben die, like, fucking every story of Spider-Man they've ever told.
Like, two things just quickly at this point. Like, so this from here pretty much becomes Tom Holland's Spider-Man origin story, I think.
Yes.
That we didn't really get. And I understand, you know, we've had it revamped now for the third time, you know, origin stories can get old, and we get introduced to him in Civil War, so we kind of get brought along, you know, a couple times. But this is, like, Tom Holland is top notch in this movie.
Yeah.
And this scene is fucking brutal when he's having to, like, comfort her and mm-hmm. he loses her. He, like, that is some real deal shit. And I think,
yeah, and as he's screaming for help, and there's this Department of Damage Control outside refusing to come help because they think Spider-Man is a bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes the damage more hurtful.
Doesn't he take a bullet in the shoulder or
something? He does take one.
Yeah. He takes it clean. He's just like, ah, he shakes it right off. Fucking A.
Well, maybe we'll have some questions about Spider-Man's... Does he have healing ability?
I mean, he must.
He does, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
It's not like Wolverine where it's instantaneous, but he does have healing ability.
Okay.
It takes time, but...
Yeah.
So, this scene kind of wraps up. Peter's down bad, and of course... you know, Anthony, maybe you should talk about it, considering, I guess, you didn't think it was maybe not going to happen, you know? Maybe you want to talk about the part that comes next here.
We all assumed.
We did.
I guess.
We did.
But you never wanted to, like, guarantee, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Peter runs, you know, runs off because he's sad, obviously. He goes, like, and Ned and MJ are trying to find him. And so Ned, with his newfound magic ability, after he somehow acquired Dr. Strings's
sling ring,
starts conjuring up fucking
circles,
portals looking for Peter. And yeah, we find some.
So my dumbass sitting in this theater, right? Like, he opens up this portal. Everybody goes, and I'm like, well, they found their friend. Like, I literally, that's how my brain was working at that moment. And then it took like 10 seconds for me to put it together. And I was like, oh, Scott, you fucking idiot. And Cassie's like, why is everybody thinking this is such a big deal? So when Andrew Garfield came running through that portal, my theater went fucking apeshit. I didn't hear his first two lines. Like, I literally did not hear his first two lines because just insane. Like,
What do you guys think about the decision to make Garfield the first one to come through?
I kind of liked it because I liked it because of how good Garfield was. If I could have seen it a way that I would have wanted, I would have wanted Toby first, probably.
I think it's good they gave him the bigger pop because, like, Toby gets there only like 5 minutes later. True. So, like, people are still, like, excited, but, like, they knew what's up already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, and after Amazing Spider-Man 2 tanked, you know, giving it to Andrew Garfield felt a little bit more like he needed it.
He's been in interviews saying, like, he loved playing that character, and it was, like, a bummer that the movies didn't really turn out as good as he had hoped. And I think he was all right in those movies. Like,
yeah,
we talked about it earlier, but he was okay. The movies around him just were not.
And
so,
and unfortunately for him, he's been on, like, the front lines over the last year because he's still... You know, Tobey Maguire has kind of fallen. He doesn't really act as much anymore.
Yeah.
So Andrew Garfield, in any sort of promo tour he's on, he's getting asked questions constantly and has been denying it forever. So for him to, like...
big roles that he's had to do press tours for. Right. People, like, ask him questions about Spider-Man when he's doing, like, press tours for other stuff. He's
exactly.
Like, I'm not in it.
So I think...
And his joy came through when he was in this movie.
Oh,
like, it was absolutely apparent, and that's what made it so satisfying.
That's the thing. Is, like, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, but... Him, for as good as he was, I think, has just made me sad that we might not ever...
It's a little bittersweet.
It is terrible.
He never got a good Spider-Man movie of his own.
Yeah, he was so good. It was unreal.
So, after we're introduced to him, and there's a little fun play with Ned's grandmother here. I mean, he's cleaning up cobwebs in the corner. Like, it's just good shit. They open another portal... And that's where Toby comes on screen. And at first, he's in street clothes, and you're like, oh my god, did they just fuck us? And, like, is Peter Parker before he became Spider-Man here? And I love that because he was just like, I'm Peter Parker. Like, he's just so perfectly nerdy, and that was the Toby Spider-Man. So
he that's what I loved.
He's got this weary, soulful quality to him.
Yeah.
He was the exact same Peter from his Spider-Man, and I just couldn't get enough. No. I was such a nerd. I was freaking out.
Right. And, of course, then they have the moment where they web shoot at the same time, and you're like, fuck yeah, let's go. The big shock, and I think we can all agree on this, is this wasn't some team-up scene. No, this is the second half of the fucking movie. Like, and I didn't see that coming. Like, I was like, they'll have 20 minutes together, maybe. This is an hour.
So I think that's the twist.
Yeah.
Like, everyone probably assumed that they were going to make it. But the fact that they were in the last hour of the movie, like, they were in the movie.
Yeah.
And... Drove,
and integral to
and
it
drove
too. They
the plot
just there.
Like, yeah, that I think is what I came away shocked the most. I was like, they really gave it to us. Like, Fuck yeah. Yeah. It was awesome.
It's the beginning of what I will label as probably the biggest fan service ever.
That actually worked, though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, maybe Avengers Assemble with the portals in Endgame, but, like, even that doesn't have this much of a payoff of, like, 2001 was the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, and it's literally 20 years later. Like, yeah, the other one was more movies, like 26 movies or whatever till Endgame, but still.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, like, our first scene where all three of them are together is a quite powerful scene and one of my favorite of the movie, because right now we've got Peter... we're going back to Tom Holland now, because it's going to get a little complicated. But
yeah, we might have to just do it that way.
So
Peter 1, Peter 2, and Peter 3.
Or that, yeah.
So Tom Holland is down bad, and he's like, I'm going to kill the people. I'm going to kill Goblin, who killed Aunt May. And I fucking love, like, Toby telling his side of, like, I got angry once. This is what happened. Like, you can feel the pain in, like, what happened in those movies and why it didn't satisfy the feeling of revenge. And Andrew Garfield says the same thing. Like, it's just...
I want to see that story.
Yeah.
He got angry after Gwen died and he stopped pulling his punches.
Yeah.
Like, if you understand how strong Spider-Man is and how much he pulls his punches against, like, normal, like, everyday bank robbers, like, that could be dark depending on where they went with it. I want to see that story.
Yeah. Right.
I agree.
Yeah,
that was pretty revealing, because that wasn't just like a glossed over, like, they made a point to, like, put that in there, you know, and it's
it's an expansion of a story that they weren't really that we didn't think they were going
to
touch.
Back on. Up to exactly. When back up to when Toby came in, because I'm still confused about this. He says at one point, "I've seen you two before." And he's talking to Ned and Zendaya. What is he referring to?
They had been in the universe for a while.
Yeah, when the villains came, they technically came too.
Yeah, so it's been a couple days, and MJ and Ned are all over all the papers and the newsstands and everything because of the Spider-Man face reveal.
Okay.
Right.
Flash Thompson wrote a book.
Good for him.
Flashpoint.
But yeah, so that I love that first scene, and this is the start of our team up. And just creating some really fucking witty dialogue here. Obviously, you get we see Toby shoot his web, and it doesn't come out of a web shooter, and they're like, what the fuck is that? Like, what are you doing?
And then they ask him, does it come out of anywhere else?
Do you ever get blocked up?
I would have been upset if we got this much fan service and didn't address the body of web shooters.
Phenomenal stuff, and the way they pulled it off was great. They asked him if he ever gets blocked up. He talks about the time he did. You go back to Spider-Man 2, and, you know, when he did get blocked up, he fell, and he hurt his back. And who else fixes it but fucking Andrew Garfield when he cracks his back later and more of the team up. I don't know. Like, the last half of this movie, I think everybody in...
It's all fan service.
And it flies.
There's a few... really, really good actual moments, but a lot of it is fan service, which was awesome to watch, but I don't know.
I don't know where we're gonna start talking about it, because that's like, I mean, my rating will be whatever, but like, I will say, and I think Adam mentioned this in one of our group chats, it's like the ending it might be like we're the only part where you want to nitpick, because as far as if you want to look at it as where it actually, like, I guess, drives the MCU forward, because we kind of just wrap up, you know, those three or four, or there's five villains, or the three villains, whatever, that get wrapped up, you know,
because,
and it kind of just happens.
Sinister Six, minus, but Venom's in
minus
it.
Venom.
Right, so we kind of just wrap them up, you know, and then it's like done, and obviously we'll get to what Peter does, but, you know, that's the only part where it's like, for the grand scheme of things, other than, like, obviously we get us getting introduced to the multiverse, because this really only deals with, like, Spider-Man. So if you wanted to say, like, how does it really push the total package forward, maybe it lacks a little bit there, but I guess, you know, you'd have to really think about it. I don't know.
Yeah, and from there, we kind of, like, lead into our big battle in the end, which is all about rehabilitating these bad guys, like, to get to the end point that you just mentioned. Were because when they came here, they were like all just about to beat Spider-Man in their head. That's where they were at before they got shifted into this universe. They were like, I was kicking his ass, like Jamie Foxx mentions that, and then I just came here.
In addition, one thing we haven't talked about is multiple of them died in their own universes and were brought back, obviously, alive.
Yep. All of them.
All of them?
Well, Sandman.
Well, do they say he doesn't technically die?
I don't think he does. No, I don't think he does.
I don't remember.
I didn't think Lizard was dead either.
Lizard definitely
dies. Electro definitely dies.
It's just a bad memory there.
Goblin and Doc definitely die. I'm pretty sure Sandman
he just
dies
like
too.
Fades away into the in Spider-Man 3 when he fades to sand. That's him
like
dying.
Dust in the wind.
Yeah, because like Spider-Man's fighting him and Venom at the same time, and then somehow Sandman gets taken out. I think it's implied that he dies, and then the fight with Venom.
Is not memorable. Well, it is for the wrong reasons, but
yeah,
so for Grace being Venom.
Well, he wasn't bad though. But anyway, so yeah, in this team up fight, you get a lot of fun dialogue between the three. They're working together. At first, they suck. In the fight, they're like absolutely terrible fighting, and so they kind of team up in the direction of Tom Holland. He is like the leader. Before we get there, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention how frequently they tell Andrew Garfield how amazing he is. That was great. Also, I believe there's a small Easter egg with him saying it's no big deal, because I think there was something...
I don't know if we want to talk about that, but it's kind of a long story. But yeah, that's...
Look it up. It's interesting. It definitely is interesting how that fit into the movie. But yeah, I love when they were like, no, you're amazing. And Cassie didn't get that. And I kept going, he's the amazing Spider-Man. And she's like, oh. And I was like, yeah. So we got there. But that's like, to expand on that, when Andrew Garfield came through, Cassie literally was like, it's a big deal. And I was like, it's a big fucking deal.
It's a huge
but
deal.
She gets it now. So yeah, I mean, the fight, they do eventually rehabilitate some of the guys. I liked the line of when Jamie Foxx is back to his normal self and Andrew Garfield has his mask off. He says, I wish Spider-Man was black. And Jamie Foxx says, I think maybe in another world. And I took that as a nod to Spideyverse. I mean, I like...
Oh, absolutely.
I felt,
yeah, the door is open just, there for Miles Morales.
So, good nod there. And we're rehabilitating everyone. Doc Ock is helping. But it comes down to Goblin versus Tom Holland still. And I think, to me, this is where afterthoughts of the movie was up there with my favorite scenes. Because we again have Peter just fucking wailing on Green Goblin here. And he's beating his ass. And he's about to take his glider and kill him with it. So this has been time number two Goblin has been killed by said glider. And who is there to stop him but Toby? And
Toby.
That moment in the movie, like that picture, I want that fucking framed. Because that is such an awesome moment of like Toby, like, I made this mistake. I don't want you to too. And then he gets stabbed.
Well, and it's 100% him, his character, taking on a mentor role, which unfortunately it doesn't seem as though we're going to get to see Toby versus Tom going forward, but it was so good.
It was. And Goblin stabs Toby, and you're like, fuck, no way, they're going to kill off Toby. I do like how he later is just like, nah, dude, I've been stabbed before. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was just like nodding or to earlier when we were talking about it. I was like, oh, so they clearly they must just be able to take some... just flesh wounds.
So eventually Goblin is healed. And so this full arc of villains who, you know, I don't think any of them ever intended to be evil. Like, obviously, Dr. Connors, he thought the world would be better off as all lizard people.
Well, he was trying to regrow amputee people.
Right.
Regrow their limbs.
Electro, he just fell into a vat of eels, which... That's a great line, by the way, too, that we need to go back to, is like, what happened to that guy? And Andrew Garfield's like, we fell into a vat of eels. And Toby's literally like, well, that'll do it. That'll fucking do it. Really,
the only one who's like a bad person, which is even arguable, is Sandman. Yeah. Is just a bank robber, an actual criminal. Yeah, because
he killed Uncle Ben, yes. Correct? In the Tobyverse?
Yeah.
But he's trying to get to his daughter, so I guess that's...
He's trying to, like, get money for his daughter or some shit, because she's sick, or I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean...
He's just misunderstood.
It is kind of a great way to tie up all those mistakes, you know? Like, all were mistakes, because I don't think... I mean, obviously, Toby didn't mean to kill the Green Goblin. He was fighting him to help him in the end. Same with Electro, same with all these. And so it just ties it up in a way of, like, all those universes kind of get their peace of mind. Obviously, we also get, just before that, Zendaya is falling and Andrew Garfield catching her before she hits the ground. That's a powerful fucking scene because like of
carried higher by his great acting.
Yeah. And of all the scenes in Spider-Man 2 of Andrew Garfield's world, when Emma Stone dies, that's a pretty tough scene. Like, it's... That's a hard one, and, like, you're like, oh, fuck, not again, but he catches her, and then he's crying as he's catching her. Awesome shit. But, yeah, so that kind of...
I didn't love the... I'm fine. He asks her if she's okay, which is fine. When he starts crying, which I think he was acting really well, his face gave a lot of emotion. There was a lot of lines throughout the movie before that where you could tell, like, about him pulling his punches and not having much time for Peter Parker stuff, and basically just... not having a life because he was so fucked up from Gwen dying. You could see it on his face. He was crying. And then Zendaya's just like, are you okay? Didn't love that. And I'm like, ha ha ha. I didn't think that line was made.
Could have been delivered better. Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
In less of a comical manner.
Yeah.
I didn't love that, but the scene as a whole is still amazing. Yeah. Like, I was very impressed with Garfield. I'm glad they gave him that redemption.
Toby and, Octavius's like whole little spiel up on top of the Statue of Liberty was great, dude. Peter, how you been? He's like, good. How are you doing?
Yeah, because he got cured early,
right? Because they fixed his implant, you know, the first time, the first thing. So those two.
And when he shows up at the Statue of Liberty, he's planted up acting evil to distract Goblin.
Right. Yeah. That was always funny. Those two guys' interactions on the skyscraper is pretty good too.
Yeah, and. From there, to kind of start the end of this movie, Peter knows what he needs to do from here is, well, why does he determine that? Oh, well, because,
Doctor Strange is trying to hold the spell. Yeah, because by the way, it's breaking the universe.
Multiverse is,
multiverse is open right now. And there are fuckers coming in. I don't know who they are.
They're all Spider-Man villains. You want some
Easter eggs? They're all Spider-Man
really?
Villains.
Really?
Yeah, so there's like a guy with a spear you can see, that's Kraven the Hunter. I think there was a rhino silhouette, there's a black cat silhouette, I think there was a scorpion.
Wow. Yeah, because still at the base of it all, the spell was anyone who knows that Peter is Spider-Man, so that's why from all those universes, But it does get weird.
Yeah.
With that.
So then Peter knows he has to say, I wish, or not I wish, but that's kind of what it seems like. He's like, make it so no one knows who Spider-Man is, basically. And Doctor Strange realizes that's going to be him, and they have another moment here, which is pretty adorable. And then his moment with Zendaya of, you know, I'm going to have to leave you. You're never going to know who I am. And she's like, make sure you find me. And then they have a kiss that should have been more passionate, but then it cut away. That kiss was weird. I'm going to just throw that out there.
That's just MCU bullshit. They don't like to
they
go
needed
into
a fucking,
that kind of stuff.
No.
Heroes don't have
they
sex
needed
lives.
A big kiss there. They needed like a, I may not bang you ever again kiss. So that, we missed it. But anyway, the spell goes.
Which they are dating, so they should have made
that's true. Them. Like, I mean, they could do it in public. But I don't know. They seem classy. They seem pretty classy. So, spell is done, and that is the end of said fight. But of course, we get that Peter is going to come back and try to find Zendaya. But before that, he visits Aunt May's grave, and what's the character's name?
Happy
is there, and this is a good moment, because I don't think Happy didn't get much time in here, but he was like dating Aunt May, kind of.
They were on the verge of a breakup,
yeah, it seems. So I don't really know what was happening there, but there's a nice little scene here where Peter is like, he's asking him how you knew her, and what does he say? I knew Spider-Man.
Through
Spider-Man, which is a good little line here. And then he visits Zendaya, and she most certainly does not remember him because the spell. She has gotten into, what is the college, MIT. So she's going to go to MIT. But when he orders this coffee, whew, there is some tension going on when he's staring at her. She's been saying a phrase the whole movie or something, and he finishes it, and she's like, what the heck? And Peter decides not to say what he was going to say. He decides...
Yeah, and the phrase is, if you expect disappointment, you'll never be disappointed.
Right. This is what you're here for, man. You got the details more than I do. But he decides not to go after her. And Adam, your thoughts, because I know you have big thoughts on this.
So, as a Spider-Man story, this is a perfect ending. So, the whole character of Spider-Man is that it's a struggle between him, his personal life, and he's such a good person that he can't let people get hurt for his own needs. Like, it's literally the core of his character.
Like, it's
the reason the whole theme of this movie is curing them when in the past they died, because, like, Spider-Man doesn't kill people. We need to fix these mistakes. Like, it's great power, great responsibility. Yeah, that's a cliche line, but it's literally the core of the Spider-Man character.
Yep.
In the comics, in the movies, he misses dates. He messes things up with MJ or Gwen, or gets grounded by May. Doesn't he damn near miss
MJ's wedding or his wedding to MJ in Spider-Man 2?
Something like that. Like, he fucks his own life up because he's helping people, and he's willing to make that sacrifice because he's such a good person. Like, that is core to the Spider-Man character. It's what makes him such a good hero, such a good character. So giving up literally his entire life, like his friends, his girlfriend, the Avengers, everything, so that the multiverse can be saved, and he's just gonna end up in a shitty apartment. He doesn't have Stark money or Stark tech anymore. He's gonna sew his own suit. Like,
love that. I love that.
It's a perfect ending for Spider-Man. Like, Goblin even says it earlier in the movie. There's a line when they're fighting, he's like, Peter, you're struggling to have everything you ever wanted, but the world is making you choose. Like, it's perfect.
It's kind of a back to roots thing too for the character, yes, which I like.
And my biggest problem with Tom Holland Spider-Man, which I do like a lot, I like his portrayal, I like the stories they've told. My biggest problem was that he had all this Stark backing. It didn't really matter if he screwed up, because there was always someone to pick up his pieces. He wasn't poor like he's supposed to be, not supposed to be, like he is in most of the stories told about him. So that was my one problem. So they fixed that now going forward.
Right.
But going forward, I don't know where they go from here. Like, yeah, he can be the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, but what story do they tell from it? Like, can he meet Gwen Stacy and Kurt Connors, like, with the multiverse shit? Like, he knows what happens to the characters. Without
appearing canned, you mean?
Like, how? Gwen Stacy can't date him and then die. Like, you can't do that story. You can't have Kurt Connors show up and turn into the Lizard, hopefully better told than Amazing Spider-Man was. Like, you can't do some of his core stuff. Like, yeah, you can have him meet back up with Zendaya, and that would be cute, and I'd love to see that, but, like, you need time between that, otherwise this movie doesn't matter. And, like...
Right, so do you think now... it's going to be a while before we get another
better
movie,
question,
or even before he appears in anything.
Is Tom Holland
better? That's, yeah. I want it to be.
If if Sony and Marvel can't make a deal, or if Tom wants to take a break from acting or anything, you could end it here.
And bring
There's
in,
no reason.
And here comes Miles Morales.
You could put in Miles. You could write out Spider-Man completely. Like, the Avengers don't remember who Peter is. They have no way to contact him. I don't think they're going to do that. I think he'll be back. I just...
Doesn't need to be.
I don't think he's going to be back, or I don't think he's done yet, given Feige having said that Tom Holland's Spider-Man is going to be the new Iron Man. He is going to be the leader of the Avengers.
So it's just going to be... I see where you're concerned. It's just going to be interesting to see
where
they...
I don't know where they go from here.
Where they, or how they incorporate him back, you know.
The way they told his story over literally six movies, his three main movies, Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame, like, is essentially just his origin story, Spider-Man. Like, learning what it means to sacrifice your personal life and everything about you to help people. You don't kill your villains, you help them, etc. Like, it's an origin story. But also, like, unless they create new villains for him or take deeper cuts from the comics that haven't been in movies before, like, he saw a bunch of shit. Like, you can't unring that bell. Like, he knows who Electro is, he knows who Sandman is. Like, I guess you could just have him show up in his universe, but, like, there's no emotional stakes there anymore.
Right.
Like, he's already fought them and knows something about their motivations. Like, he knows what Lizard's trying to do and how he would potentially help him if he saw it coming. Like,
it's the one thing you kind of corner yourself with when you make this movie.
I love the MCU, but it's a problem I have with a lot of MCU movies where they feel like they want you to be thinking ahead to the next thing, the next Avengers movie, the next team up, the next movie, etc. So it's impossible to not go there when, if I just thought about this movie and this ending on its own, I think it's awesome. I think it's a great Spider-Man story. Like, that sacrifice, like, the deciding not to tell MJ who he is again in that diner because he doesn't want to hurt her. She's got, like, the scar above her eye, and she says it doesn't hurt anymore, implying because she doesn't remember where she got it, and she's not getting hurt again.
Right.
Like, it's a great ending. I just, because it's the MCU, because everything is a commercial for the next thing, there's literally a trailer for Doctor Strange in the credits.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible not to think about where it goes from here.
Well, I mean, and...
And I
do
think
we want to talk about the first
post-credit
scene?
And then add in what happened in the first post-credit scene, too.
Well, so see, there you go, Adam. Maybe there's his next villain. Just that
But
smudge.
For the same reason none of the other villains are satisfying, this one wouldn't be either.
Well,
so,
I don't know.
So this one you could do... Andrew Garfield mentions fighting a black goo. He doesn't even Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
He doesn't even drop the Venom name.
No.
He doesn't explain what it means. He just says black goo. So, yes, Venom makes sense. I actually have a problem with this. I love the ending, but also I'm scared about where they go forward. The Venom post-credit scene, I actually just don't like. Like, it... Venom gets sucked back to his own universe, but leaves like a spot of goo there. Like, we're not going to explore what symbiotes mean. Like, it's not actually an alien. It's just like, it's the Venom we know, but it's Tom Hardy.
Right. It's like, what was the point of even, showing him, I guess, other than to show that they left a piece behind somehow, you know? That's like, I don't know.
And like, that's just such a boring way to introduce Venom to me. Like, in the comics, there's like a NASA spacecraft that hits a meteor and the goo comes down. Like, I don't know.
Right. No, I get it. Because that's like, I didn't really like, it was funny, that was great. Like, Tom Hardy was awesome in the scene, but it was, in the end, it was like, what was the point? He didn't have any impact. He just sat in Mexico the whole time. And then just for him to get sucked back in, like, it was, like you said, it might just be a cheap way to introduce Venom.
Get the symbiote in there.
Exactly. But yeah.
Well, I think that means it's a great time to go through scores. So, I want to start...
We should say that Charlie Cox was in this movie.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, fuck. Sorry. Daredevil.
After the big discussion about that, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah. It wasn't as big of a deal to me.
I love Charlie Cox. I can't wait to see more of him as Daredevil. Spoiler for Hawkeye, but Vincent D'Onofrio is back as Kingpin, just like I predicted.
Yep.
He was in the final scene of Episode 5 the day before Spider-Man came out, and Charlie Cox was in it. I was completely right. Foggy was just killing the news cycle.
Yep.
Yes, so God. He is in it. Good
this,
point.
This, there's so much. There's a lot left.
Yes.
Do we want to talk about the Strange trailer at all?
We can. Yes. So I just now saw it. Adam pointed out to me that there is an evil Doctor Strange in the trailer, and that's what got me to watch it. So
we gotta watch. I guess you have to watch like Episode 5 of What If on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I haven't watched that show yet.
That's. I guess he's. Neither have I. I guess. Whatever. Dark.
I'm not convinced. I read about it. I'm not convinced it's the same character, but yeah.
Right. That's what they're saying people now, think it though. Might be. Yeah. So people who knows? Think it might be. Everything's canon, I guess.
Yes.
Just accept. Just that's what you just have to, you know, start to accept that whatever.
When you do multiverse, and the multiverse is literally in the title of the movie, Multiverse of Madness, like literally anything goes.
So, you know how, you know, we obviously had leaks and rumors that Andrew and Toby were going to be in this. The craziest leaks and rumors I've heard now, I might have mentioned it on here, but I was talking to a guy from work about Multiverse of Madness, is that there's talks for Patrick Stewart and Wolverine to be in it.
For X-Men?
From the X-Men.
What are we doing?
Just to show up.
All right.
We might get to see Hugh Jackman.
I guess because Wanda's in it, and she's Hugh the X-Men Jackman
shows
connection.
Up and drops right. off one adamantium claw, like one drop of venom.
Yeah, there you go. Even if it was just Hugh Jackman getting like his one random scene where he's smoking a cigar.
Well, you gotta just go. Like, what the fuck? I mean, for the Multiverse of Madness, you gotta go bananas, right? Like you gotta.
I bet they will.
It's gotta be madness.
Madness, you know.
Sam Raimi, you know? Y'all.
That's the other thing. Well, here's. So, and now people are starting to think Toby might get a fourth. We're so sad.
Toby's not getting
a fourth. There's a change.org petition for Amazing Spider-Man 3 yes. right now.
Yeah.
Garfield might get another movie. There was the whole thing in the post-credit scene, or was it Venom 2's post-credit scene? One of the Venom in the MCU credit scenes. Where he sees Spider-Man on TV because, like, it's the Mysterio thing. So there's a theory that he's going to go to his own universe, New York, and they're going to reveal that Andrew Garfield and Venom are the same universe or something.
That'd be sweet.
People want that to happen. They want Amazing Spider-Man 3 in a separate universe.
Right.
Tom Hardy Venom. People want that. I'd watch it. I don't know.
Just sucks. Like we said, it's bittersweet because Andrew Garfield was so fucking good.
Yeah.
And it's just...
See, and if that's the route they go, if they do give him a third, but they put it in Tom Hardy and fucking Jared Leto is playing Michael Morbius, and that's the same universe too, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw that trailer. That's all the same universe as Venom.
I thought that looks good, in my opinion. I don't know.
Maybe.
I think that suits... I think that's a better superhero adaptation for... what's his face than Joker
Leto, definitely
for sure. I think it suits him better.
If that's the universe they're going to put Garfield in, I'm not confident the writing's going to be any better than Amazing Spider-Man 2 was.
Yeah, Venom 2 was not great. I'll admit it.
I mean, neither of the Venom movies were that good.
I don't know. I just think it's just because Tom Hardy's so good.
He's
and like
decent,
the dynamic with Venom is cool, but like as an overall movie, they really aren't that great.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Should we go into scores for the movie we're actually talking about instead of future
Jim,
stuff?
Let's hear it.
I'm giving this a 9 out of 10. I did come into this podcast with my IMDb set at 10. We've talked a little bit, and you guys have knocked me down.
Holy shit.
I think the complaints we have are valid.
Yeah.
I think that coming out of the theater, I was just awash in the glow of No Way Home, and it's faded just maybe the slightest bit. Does not mean I don't love this movie. Does not mean I don't think this is the epitome of everything that the MCU can be. Shows everything that DC is fucking up, you know? So Marvel may have won a convert today.
I do have a question
today.
For you on that.
Hmm.
Was it all the multiverse stuff and the fan service stuff, or have you come around on Tom Holland as Spider-Man?
No, I still think Tom Holland is really the weakest of the three.
Okay.
And I don't think
that's And I think it's not even close. Especially given how much Toby and Andrew got to do in this movie. I think Tom Holland's not even close to being as good as them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You know.
All right. I was just curious.
Well, Jim.
Because I knew you really didn't like the last two.
I did not. But this one blows them out of the water pretty easily.
Since your review went that way, I'll go next because mine's like the opposite. So I left the theater and I was at an 8. I believe that's what I told Adam. And then I was thinking about it for like the next 12 hours. And I inflated all the way to a 10 simply because...
Yeah, you texted all of us, it's probably
simply because I was thinking of the moments and like how happy I was in the theater. And yes, is this a fan score? 100%, it's a fan score. But also because I would rewatch that movie probably 10 times and not get sick of it, maybe just the second half, maybe. But I think there's moments like that that happen in movies that is what makes them magic. And like that itself is going to be one of the biggest moments of this century for movies. I think. Let's say at least decade for sure. But I think just it met the hype. And there was a high one, like we've been talking about. There's been high hype for this, and they pulled off the three of them in it so well, way more than I thought they could. And all the old villains. I think really who inflated this score the most was probably Willem Dafoe. Like, he was good enough that like the villain side was covered by just him. But then you throw in Molina, who was also fantastic too.
He was very good.
And put it this way, it's ridiculous when you just think about like a comic book movie, but then this just happens to throw in three Oscar nominated actors with Molina, Dafoe, and eventually Andrew Garfield, and it's like, and they're just on the top of their game, just putting on performances that you're not really used to seeing in like a fucking just smash 'em up superhero movie. Yes. So it's just like it adds so much more like heart and character to like each of the guys that you're seeing on screen, and it's just I don't know, it's fucking awesome.
So to tie that up, the king of tens gives another 10. You're welcome, everyone. Now, Adam, I'm gonna go to you next.
All right, I'm gonna give it an 8. It's I loved it. That does not mean I didn't love it. It was just the fan service for me, which I loved in the moment, but like reflecting on it, like there's not a ton of meat on the bones for some of it. Like there's like a 30-second scene, which was hilarious, about like, you're in the Avengers, is that a band? Like that was hilarious, but like that final fight, other than the final Holland Goblin thing, like with all the villains, I felt like should have been bigger scale. I don't know. And then
it could have been ending, improved.
The ending, I talked about how I thought it was perfect, but had issues at the same time. So I don't really want to go through that again. But like, there are zero MCU movies that are at 10 for me. There's maybe one or two nines, which means most of them are 8 or below. So if I'm giving this an 8, that means it's like it's near the top of the MCU. Like it's an incredible movie. I loved it. I will rewatch it as soon as it comes out. I'm probably not going to see it in theaters yet, but like as soon as I can get it streaming, I'm going to watch it probably two or three more times. Like I loved it. I just, there's a few flaws and I don't think it's perfect. So it's an 8. I don't know. I was thinking about like where I'd rank it among Spider-Man movies. And I don't know if it's 2 or 3, like it's out of the Spider-Man movies. It's still very good.
Right.
Spider-Verse is a 10. Just to be clarify what number one is, yeah. Spider-Verse is a 10. It's not an MCU movie. It is a 10.
I'll keep mine quick. I probably came out of theater somewhere around like a 9. But for the fact of like what Scott said, like I'm going to give it a 10 too. Just based on how I felt leaving the film, like how I felt compared to other movies I've seen in theaters, and just really what, you know, people are nervous kind of after the Infinity Saga where the MCU could go, and as for like its first real shot at the multiverse, other than Loki, obviously. I don't want to forget Loki because I did love that show.
I thought they hit it out of the park. Obviously, there's a ton of fan service, and we did discuss a lot of things. But I think just at this core, for Tom Holland's Spider-Man, I thought this was just as good of a job they could as, like, just really rounding it all out and bringing it all back to, like, its core. Like, Adam described it perfectly. Like, Spider-Man at its core is, this is now where Tom Holland's at. And I thought he did a fantastic job. His best run at it, I think, for sure. So, yeah, I'm just going to wrap it up like that. I loved it. Can't wait to see it again.
All right. So that is a massive bow on a massive review of Spider-Man No Way Home. And, Jim, if I'm not mistaken, this is the episode that just keeps on giving. The Trivia King has written some trivia.
Yes, we have trivia tonight.
Here we go.
So to refresh, you guys get the options up front. First person to answer and get it right gets 2 points. Whoever steals when someone gets it wrong gets 1 point. There's one solitary bonus point available tonight.
Fuck you.
Fair enough.
We're raising hands to,
yeah,
to answer.
Yeah,
we've ran a little long, like, so one will be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What comic book did Spider-Man first appear in?
Motherfucker.
Options are Amazing Fantasy 15, Tales to Astonish 8, Amazing Spider-Man 1, or Marvel Tales 17. Anthony?
Well, now I don't remember all the words, but it's the 15th one, the first one.
Amazing Fantasy 15 is correct.
Wow, 2 points.
Only because I'm going to shout out the Ringerverse podcast, because I was just listening to it on the way to work today, and they were talking about that. It's like him appearing for the first time in the comics, so I don't know how. That's the only reason. Listen, just coincidence.
I'm not a super nerd. Listen to somebody else. What a fucker.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Spread the love. Any No Way Home content I could get, I needed before this podcast.
The movie field does better, we do better, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Stan Lee partnered with what other classic comic creator to create Spider-Man? Adam?
Steve Ditko.
That is correct.
Dude, I don't feel even attacked.
Yeah, I feel attacked. Might get waxed. I got my 2 points, Scott, so now it's on you.
Wow, I'm fucked.
In Amazing Spider-Man 121, what villain caused the death of Gwen Stacy? Options are Hobgoblin, Rhino, Electro, or Green Goblin. Scott?
I think it's Green Goblin.
That is correct for 2 points.
Yeah. Got my two.
You
didn't get
lots of twos
waxed
up there today. As a membership test when he first joined the Avengers, Spider-Man was tasked with catching whom? Options are Dr. Doom, Silver Surfer, Hulk, or Kang the Conqueror. Adam.
I'm going with Hulk.
That is also correct.
Wow. We are hot tonight.
I should.
Those other ones are cosmic. Those other ones are cosmic level threats.
Yeah, you can't just fucking catch the Silver Surfer. It ain't that easy.
Last main question. What did Spider-Man bring home from the first Secret Wars storyline? The options are a stupid t-shirt, a new girlfriend, a new costume, or an alien disease.
The secret.
Adam.
Alien disease?
That is incorrect.
Damn.
Scott.
I'm going with the girlfriend.
Also incorrect.
Yeah. Anthony, you got a good shot.
Remaining options are stupid t-shirt or new costume.
I guess. I'll just say new costume.
That is correct. That is when he first brings home the Venom costume.
Ooh, nice. Scott, remember
now
how
for a bonus point.
After this, I'll talk about it.
How does Spider-Man kill Mary Jane in the Spider-Man Reign 4-issue comic book series?
Kills her?
Adam.
Isn't his semen radioactive when he has
yeah,
sex
he has radioactive
yeah
sperm and she
oh,
gets
man
cancer.
Yeah. Bruh. For the record, most comics fans actually absolutely hate that run and do not consider it.
That's why I felt the need to bring it up.
Yeah. Nice.
That's like
good. So questions. Points for tonight. Anthony got 3, Scott got 2, and Adam got a whopping 5.
Yeah, wow. So he's ahead of me right now, I think. Adam.
Updated standings, Anthony at 21, Scott and Adam both at 18.
Get fucked. I've been on every single one. He's been on like 4.
That's awesome. Those are good questions, Jim. Good
job. Yeah, you don't give you enough props. You know, you sling it at trivia and then you write your own.
Yeah.
I mean, just I tip my cap to you, sir. I tip my cheese head to you.
I mean, I have to thank the good folks at Google.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do a lot for assistance. Me at my job even. So thank you, Google.
Scott, I was just going to say earlier, do you remember us playing that Spider-Man game on the PlayStation 1?
Fuck yeah, I do.
Oh, man, that was good.
Wasn't there one on the computer, too, that we used to play? It might have been the same game.
Might have been the same game. I think it was just we had it for... You guys might have had it for PC, and I had it for PlayStation.
Yeah, dude. Slinging down those skyscrapers that, like, definitely would disappear if you went too far.
Well, yeah, I mean, the graphics were challenged at the time.
But... Yeah, well, you'd sling the web and it would go up in the sky, but you'd hang on to something. You're like, hell yeah, I'm good.
That team up, you team up with, like, Venom in that movie or in that game, and then you also see, like, Captain America at the end.
Yeah.
Venom asks Peter if he can get Captain America's autograph. It's fucking awesome.
We didn't even know. That was, like, basically an Avengers game.
MCU back then, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well... We have not discussed which movie to watch for next week, so let's do this. Okay, I'm gonna look up a random year. All right.
I'm gonna have to rent something stupid again, aren't I?
No. I don't think so. I think I can pull this off. All right. So, okay. Give me a number between 1 and 25.
2.
We are watching Moneyball next week. All right.
Oh, huh.
So I picked 2011 top 10 movies in 2011. They gave me 25, and I guess Moneyball's number 2. But this is a fun movie. So
I've never seen it.
Really? Oh, yeah. It's you'll like it. Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill. True story based on the Oakland Athletics and how they built a baseball team. Billy Beane. Really cool. Really cool story. So that'll be episode 68. And then we'll talk about what's going to be episode 69 next week. Nice, exactly. So with that being said, Jim, please tell the people where they can find us.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @weave_seen_that. Like us on Facebook or email us at seenthatpodcast@gmail.com. That's S-C-E-N-E, thatpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Well, quick before we go here, one, thank you, Adam, again for joining.
Of course. Love to be here. Love talking Spider-Man.
Yeah, taking an hour and a half. And it is 10 o'clock. We are burning the midnight oil right now. I'm usually in bed by now. So this energy that you hear, it's not, I mean... We work hard for this.
He's faking it at this point, ladies and gentlemen.
But I hope everybody has a good Christmas. I hope you all get the toys that you wanted. I will get the socks.
And most importantly, the physical media movies that we all talk about all the time.
Right, yes. So I hope you get all the movies that you could ever want and just enjoy family time. So with that being said, thank you for listening to the 67th episode of the We've Seen That podcast. I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim. And roll credits.